Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
So welcome everyone to the Learnist Show, broadcasting live to you today from the Phoenix Business Radio X studios in Tempe, Arizona. I'm your host, Deborah Hildebrand.
And I'm your co-host and producer, Lauren Jenny, and we are here to talk to you today about the importance of mentorship.
So one of my passions is to help young girls who want to have a career in STEM. This show is a big part of how we get there because as we highlight women who are doing amazing things in Agile, we create role models for young women to look up to and emulate. So I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Learn Agile. We provide Agile certification courses, professional learning courses through Scaled Agile and IC Agile, as well as Enterprise Agile coaches to help you through your Agile transformation. Find out more at learnagile.com. That's LURNagile.com. So this episode is a bit different than normal, and we are so excited to offer a bonus panel on mentorship this month. So joining us today is Aaron Randall, Karina Jones, Denisha Jenkins, Deepti Jain, and Yvette Francino. So thank you, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you. I have been looking forward to this conversation for several months now. So yay.
yay, Aaron, for putting this together. You and Lauren did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's a pleasure to have you all here. To talk such about an important topic, and I'm excited to start our discussion. So ladies, why don't you tell us about yourself, your journey through mentorship even, and your company?
So I will kick things off then. My name is Aaron Randall, and I am the principal coach and founder of Admiliora Coaching, the small boutique coaching and consulting. And clearly, I forgot my speak and clearly enunciate pills this morning. But it's a small consulting firm here in Austin, Texas. And I work with organizations, leaderships, teams, individuals on really, you know, being the change that they want to see within their own organizations. And I love mentorship because it is really helping, it's a hand up and helping get more of us involved. And I'm going to pass it on to Karina then.
Hey, thank you, Erin, and really a pleasure to be doing this after our first show the other day, Erin and I, and then we were talking about mentorship, and this is becoming a reality now. So I am Karina Jones. I am representing Arizona State University. I am Information Technology Director for ASU Prep Academy, and also President-elect for the ASU Project Management Network. So most of the conversation that I'm going to bring today is about what we are doing at the PM Network at ASU, because we are actually just now launching a mentoring program where the idea is to help our staff and faculty at ASU grow in project management and agile and anything that is of interest to them by being part of our PM network. So I'm looking forward to this conversation, all of you.
And I'll go next. My name is Denisha Jenkins. I am the founder and current CEO of Cardi Advisory Group, which is a niche management consulting firm here in Austin, Texas. We focus on cultivating and creating inclusively diverse organizations. So we go beyond quotas, but we really work on making sure workplaces are environments where people can thrive and it can really drive creativity that translates into innovation. And so my background with mentorship is I honestly probably would not be in the role that I am without mentors, coming from intersections of what they would consider minority groups. If it wasn't for the different mentorships formally or informally that I've experienced in my life from a variety of backgrounds, I don't know if I would have been as confident and as bold in tackling the type of work that I do. So I'm dealing with disrupting bias and oppression in workplaces. I'm dealing with abuse of power a lot of times in workplaces and in challenging people on how to think differently so they can behave differently. And so my journey with mentorship, I'm currently in a mentoring program, a more horizontal mentoring program. And I'm a firm believer that community always has the answers. And so I find that mentorship is an opportunity to look outside yourself so you can better understand yourself. So it's an honor to be a part of this panel today.
Wow. So I'm going to go next. Hey guys, I'm Deepti. I'm from India. And thanks, Erin, for having me here. And, you know, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Deborah. I was actually not very sure, you know, when Erin spoke to me and I was wondering what will I do. But now I'm feeling pretty excited because, you know, now I have a diverse group of women leader in front of whom I can actually open up and reach out for further mentorship and offer whatever I have. So just to tell about myself, I am Deepti. I'm from India and I run a boutique Agile consulting firm, Agile Virgin, and which is also a country-wide community of practices. I am that kind of student who loves to collaborate and do group studies. So when I started learning more about Agile and, you know, finding what is relevant in industry, and that's when I started asking people who were doing really great job, what they are doing, how they are doing. And that's how I, in, you know, bits and pieces, got my mentorship. On a lot of stages, I feel extremely fortunate that, you know, I found those mentors who are still with me and mentoring. Just to give a tiny twist onto the whole conversation, I feel that one part which is extremely ignored is your own psychology. So it's not just professional mentorship. I also seek a lot of help in front of, you know, your mental and emotional well-being. I feel that's very much essential. And while I was doing all of this, I did a lot of community work along with my consulting training. And then that's when I met a lot of women. I had a blind side. I could not see the difference, or I could not see the biases in the organizations, and I think which worked in my favor. But when I started meeting everyone and when I also faced some of my personal challenges is when I felt we need a network of women. And that's when I created, in addition to Agile Virgin, Women in Agile and Tech. And it's a 16 officers, big forum in India, operating pan-India. And we run a global mentorship program, Women in Agile and Tech, simply mentorship program, wherein we connect, you know, mentees and mentors across the globe. This year, 60 countries participated with us. And this mentorship program offers mentorship on Lean, Agile, DevOps, personal development, and everything around that. Yeah. So that's about me.
And I'll go next, Yvette Francino. And I am a mentor in Women in Agile and Tech. So great to meet you, Deepti, to the woman behind the scenes in that program. I have had a passion for mentorship since I started at IBM in 1982 as a software developer, and they had a mentorship program, and I thought it was wonderful. And I went on to get into leadership in 1999 and implemented mentorship programs in the different organizations that I've been in. I'm currently an independent consultant and happy to be here amongst these wonderful women.
Great. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It's amazing to see you all here. And so I wanted to ask you guys, each of you, how do you define mentorship? Because it's different for everybody. And what makes it so important, especially for women in the workplace or women working in Agile?
That's a big question. And I'm hoping someone else goes first.
maybe I can throw my definition, and I don't know if perfect, but to get started, the concept of mentoring is to help somebody else grow. And when you are helping somebody else grow, you are also growing yourself. So it's kind of like a two-way relationship in which the whole concept is to build that that connection and grow together. Usually the mentor brings a little bit more experience to the relationship and is able to coach the mentee. Something that we are exploring, though, and trying to get a little bit ahead is traditionally mentoring. You see it as a one-on-one relationship where the mentor is the experienced, the mentee is the one that is learning, and it's a one-on-one relationship. But we're exploring different other ways. It can be a many-to-many, maybe a group, a team in which people collaborate and learn from each other. And you will always find some that are more experienced teaching the ones that are learning, but it's the whole concept of growing together. That's my definition. Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would say, I think my journey of just like my own professional development is that mentorship to me is a longer commitment of a relationship. It's a little bit more interdependent. So there's like transferring of wisdom and skill sets. I think it's supposed to be, it should be a mutually beneficial relationship. Traditionally, I think mentorship has looked at very hierarchical. So someone who's been where you're trying to go, but I do think there's value in even horizontal or peer and group, like you were saying, Karina, group input, because you just have different perspectives, which is the area I'm in, diversity. So there are things that you may not be able to see, blind spots or situations and conditions about the situation you're in that you may not understand based on who's around you. So I think for me, mentorship has been key for the work that I do. So I'm helping people disrupt. Part of equity work is disrupting power dynamics, and inclusion requires power dynamics to change. So everyone should have an active voice and be able to show up and participate. And so that requires that the decision makers and the gatekeepers change when it comes to access. And part of access as like just women in the professional marketplace is most of those power positions have not been held by women or people who identify as women or are perceived as women. I'll just say non-cisgendered men. I'll say that. There's a variety of people who are not in those positions. So mentorship requires, you know, it's this sharing information. The work I do is around access. Do people have access to the information to get to where they want to be? They may have the skill sets, but they may not know all the rules and the norms and what's going on inside the room. And so I feel like mentorship is a way of transferring that information across organizations and helping people use what they already have, their strengths, to maximize or leverage the opportunities or to create new opportunities. And so for women who are traditionally left out of that space, I think mentorship is key. Just a matter of, in my space, matching appropriately is key, I think, for it being mutually beneficial for women. So it's not just certain people look like, hey, I'm this great leader in the organization, but the people who are being mentored are not moving in their careers, they're not getting more money. I'm big on pay equity. They're not making more money. They're not in the rooms and being respected and sponsored. So I would hope that mentorship is also a space where, like Deep was saying, like the confidence is being affirmed, their identity is being affirmed, their what I call culture ad is affirmed. Absolutely. And not so much being a culture fit, but are they making the organization better? Whichever organizations, whether they stay here or move on in their careers. And so I think mentorship is a great way to keep an ongoing relationship with someone as they move through different seasons of their development.
That's beautiful.
So I want to tag on to two things that I want to call you Nina. Because I know it. I'm like, should I call you Denisha or fine. Nina? And she goes by Nina. Number one, using your voice, but also that match aspect of it. And by the way, I completely 100% agree that this is a longer term relationship, not something that's just very one-off or seasonal and the like. So one thing I love about mentorship is say, hey, this is what's worked for me, but it's helping to ask the question, you know, where do you want to go with this? What's going to work for you? What, you know, what are you coming up with that might build on this? Because I'm really hoping that you, frankly, have better ideas as, you know, someone on the other side of that mentor-mentee relationship. It's kind of that yes and mentality. Mm-hmm. But that matching aspect is so important. It really is. It's a chemistry of, you know, it's like, hey, you know, is that, do we have the right amount of fizz together as mentor-mentee, you know, kind of springboarding off one another? But yeah, it's where are you mentioning my name, you know, in what circles that I might not be in? You know, how am I helping people to see you in a different light? And I love that about mentorship, is that you're helping people to be seen in ways they may not have been before. Mm-hmm. So that's where I springboarded off from.
Yeah. You girls actually got my emotion here. When we run this mentorship program, we We started with 8 weeks, and then, you know, now we have cut it down to 4 weeks because we just wanted to see one iteration to get completed and what are the outcome from there. As you said, Erin, actually, and as you said, Dinesha, it's not just for these 4 weeks. After that, they establish a relationship for lifelong and they keep going back to each other and keep asking. And it's a two-way street, definitely. So the there are first-time mentors as well. They are learning so much out of it. I'll not say they are, you know, educating or teaching the mentee there. They're learning so much out of it. They prepare and then they go and they try and create so much value. And when you hear their stories and when they bond. So right now we are stuck by COVID. But last year, a mentor from Chennai was mentoring a mentee from here in Gurgaon. So when she came for the Agility Today, they both separately met. So we had a lobby for our mentees and mentors to meet. And this time it's online, so it's even easier. You know, so we'll again have a pool where our mentees and mentors. It is amazing, you know, to see this ecosystem develop. And as you said, yes, actually, it is about bringing someone on stage. This is brilliant. We also do a tiny stuff, which is called Dynamic Program, wherein in Agility Today, it is not only about experts and, you know, sage on stage kind of thing. So we want new voices to come. So now everyone pays, you know, to hear experts and, you know, great ideas. So how can we have those great ideas from these new voices? So we put shepherds with them. And these shepherds ensure that their ideas, and these shepherds are experienced, mature speakers who have been speaking and have brilliant ideas and presented them on stage. So when they mentor, when they shepherd these new people and refine their ideas, you know, they're on the stage. Now they have their digital footprint. Now the next conference will ask, what is your experience they can show? So yeah, I mean, it's a two-way street and it's amazing to get someone on stage and then establishing this ecosystem, this network where everyone can, you know, further connect with each other.
Yeah, I'll jump in to just say I agree with the different definitions that everyone had. In the end, I really think it's just, it's very much like coaching. It's about the relationship and there's not a one size fits all. You establish a connection with the person that you're this mentor-mentee relationship, and the length of time and that relationship is going to be different for every different group to people. But I think it just offers this safe space of support and that we all need that, you know, and a lot of times it's a little bit difficult to get that within your organization because of politics or all the different things that happen organizationally. And if you have sort of an independent person who you again can be completely safe about your fears or insecurities and work together, then, you know, that's just a wonderful bond that you build with a person. And I don't think, you know, again, like any relationship, there aren't hard and fast rules about how long it's going to be or anything else, but you just work and learn from each other. And, you know, like any caring relationship, that can be priceless.
I love that word, you know, safe, caring. That was such a great add to that.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I also like what you say about one size that does not fit all, because it can also be a goal-oriented relationship, right? It doesn't have to be a long-term relationship. Maybe you enter into a mentorship relationship because you want to complete your master's degree or because you want to get your certification in project management. And so there is a goal. And maybe once you achieve that goal, the purpose of the relationship is transformed. Maybe if you want to stay as a friend forever, that's fine. But maybe the mentorship goal has been achieved and maybe that's it. Right.
Yeah. Another point I want to make is that I know there have been people throughout my career that I think of as mentors, even though we didn't have a formal mentoring relationship, that I learned from and I respected. And, you know, just recently I wrote a letter to some of those people saying they influenced my career. Yeah. I think, again, we don't realize, again, as sometimes we're acting as mentor without even knowing it. So
I love that you reached out and connected with it and said, hey, thank you. You may not have realized that you did this, but thank you. What a beautiful, beautiful move.
I think we all sort of actually, you know, agree to each other. That's the beauty.
I was looking at that.
You didn't choose a topic which will be contradictory. You chose a topic, you know, where we all have synergies. How beautiful.
Yeah.
And then another question I want to ask you guys is, with the impacts of COVID-19, how has this affected the idea of mentorship for people?
It has actually helped it grow because it made it easy for people to connect. We all have been having these Zoom, WebEx meetings, and now the tools have improvised. Good for us. So now you can furthermore easily connect, and everyone can actually easily, everyone has got into this culture of adjusting to each other's time zone. And so it made it very easy. That's why we could actually have mentors from all around and from 60 different countries. And this year, our count is around 500. We feel that will grow. And it just made this whole process very easy. There is a motivational force because now the group is bigger. So now everyone is sort of motivating everyone else by sharing their stories, what they have discovered as mentee and as mentor. So I think, yes, it has made it easy. Also, when we were all busy in our life running around, we didn't have time. Because we are all stuck together, we all have a common pain to share. So I think in a certain way, it's binding us together. The friendship is becoming stronger. I mean, I love that part that, you know, once the job is done, you both can go your ways. But right now, the job is not done. Everyone needs somebody. I also feel something that, you know, when you have tried finding help from where you are, from your local environment, you have already received whatever, you know, best possible you could have. So you really need to get out of that box. This mentorship opportunity, finding someone else, you know, from outside your local context, helps a lot. And you find those solutions. So I think COVID has helped in many ways.
I would agree with Deepti. I think COVID in many ways has made us more daring, more willing to reach out. In fact, just this morning, a woman I know reached out to me via LinkedIn and said, "Hey, do you have any experience with this?" As it turns out, I did. And we're setting up some time to talk more about it later. But yeah, Deepti, I couldn't agree more that COVID has made us, I think, more willing to utilize this aspect of the tool set to lean in and really build those relationships where it's completely normal anymore to just be like, "Hey, do you want to jump on a Zoom call or whatever, you know, platform of your choice?" You know, not just Zoom. But yeah, I think this is one of the benefits of COVID.
Yeah, we are no more, you know, those
made us want to lean in on this.
Yeah, we are not those Facebook kind of friend who just send friend requests and never talk. Or even like LinkedIn kind of connections where we just never connect, never talk. So I think this is way much more better.
Yeah. And on top, it's made it more personal, right? Because how many times do you see, like, in a Zoom call, and for me, my boy comes in, right? He's my 6-year-old and everybody now knows that I have a 6-year-old.
Exactly.
So they see the background of my house and they have that. They know that I have a dog. So it's made it more personal as well.
Yeah, it's a great point.
I think also for me, now go ahead, disclaimer, I always start most of my things with "I think" more rather than "I feel." So I'm working. That's one of the things my mentor has pointed out to me. So I'm working on that. But right now, I still just think that I feel like the situation of remote work, particularly with the organizations I've worked with, whether they're startup in tech or if they're, you know, 10,000 plus, that the being online has forced internal teams to really focus on professional development and employee development and employee relations in a way they never did before. So now they have to operate people-centric and taking care of their talent in ways that they just kept postponing. And now when you have where you can't, like, resource-wise, they cannot guarantee that you're going to hit these promotional bonuses that you had before or that there's going to be new career opportunities for you to move up. They have to figure out, how do we make work more enjoyable, more beneficial to you? And people are asking for a lot more transparency within their organizations now that they're remote. And so I think mentorship has been a way to connect those different levels of the organization that they weren't doing before. I feel like a lot of the CEOs or C-suites that I worked with before who were just used to these one or two trips to their sites to have all, you know, a town hall once a year, are now people are like, no, we have plenty of time. I want a calendar. I want to click on your link and schedule a 20-minute talk with you. You know, so they're having to open up their schedules and ways and make themselves more available in more meaningful ways. And I think mentorship has also helped people process different in a more holistic way, like you were saying, Deepti, about like their emotional health, their psychological health, and reevaluate like how much work has taken up in their lives. Yes. And so I think mentorship and the virtual remote life has also exposed where organizations have failed to develop people. So those who are the essential workers or the frontliners in some way who don't get to be remote, now they're looking at how do we bring value to them in ways that we've forgotten about for years. And so I think it's been a good opportunity for growth, but also has exposed like where organizations have not done a good job. And people, like I said, I'm big on community having the answer. Now I feel like I'm being pulled into more interdisciplinary type of coalition work, where people are not just focusing on mentorship that's within their organization, but partnering with different groups of people who may be by sector or by industry and aren't as limited to like regions and geographic zip codes now that we're remote to get answers and help.
And then on that note, I want to ask you, so how do you know if you're a good mentor? What makes you a good mentor?
I feel if your mentee keeps, I mean, different mentees keep coming back, or there is, you know, a word of mouth spread that go to her, then I think that's the biggest check that you get to know.
I think it's very similar to how you know you're a good leader or a coach or anything, is just the body language and the communication and the relationship that you build. It's not always going to be a good fit, perhaps, and you might know that pretty quickly as well, and try to, it's all about trust, any of these things, I think, and you just, again, you know, read body language, you have emotional intelligence to be able to suspect that things are going well. And if they're not, then that's when you can also, if you're a strong mentor or coach or leader, you have transparency and try to get down to the root of if there is a discomfort or not, and try to understand that. So as time goes by and you get more experience with listening and speaking with people, you just, like any skill, I mean, you gain confidence and you feel good about that, you know how to build those trusting relationships.
I like what you mentioned, because it's like you are, as a mentor, you also have to do a self-assessment, right, of how you are acting as a mentor at this particular point in time. And maybe it may be that you are not at the right place personally or professionally right now to mentor others, but maybe it's just a temporary thing. I can speak, for example, like, maybe this is a moment in your time in which you are super busy raising kids, going to school, starting a new job. You know, maybe this is, you do a self-evaluation, self-assessment, and realize, I'm not giving my best as a mentor right now. Let me get my life a little bit more in order, and then I will do my best. So it's both, like the mentee has to evaluate, but also it's very important for the mentor to do a self-assessment and see if he or she is ready to really serve as a mentor.
I'm laughing because
feedback,
I'm thinking,
is consistent. Oh, I was gonna say, I think feedback is what I look for. And that's probably just because the work that consultants are always like digging in people's
stuff.
So I'm always like looking for feedback along the process and not just at the end. Because I do want to, like, I think Yvette, you mentioned a little bit of how you have that coaching aspect to mentoring. So I also want to see if they're getting what they were hoping to get out of this relationship towards a goal or perspective, or, you know, and even for myself, I try to make sure I'm being reflective about each time we're meeting and like, how have I grown? Like you said, Karina, like the self-assessment, self-evaluation, and really, I don't like to necessarily say like time to dollars, but also looking at like, what is the outcome of this investment for both parties? because it may be that this person still needs a relation, a mentor, and I still might be, but it may be we're not a good match at this time or at this particular season, and we can reevaluate meeting, trying to pick up something another time. And that's not a bad thing. I think having open conversations about just from the beginning, I like to set expectations of like, this will be very fluid. You know, if you're expecting me to have to be the one with an entire structure and I'm going to give you an assessment, and like, if that's not going to be, that's not what's going to happen here. But I think checkpoints, I like to have checkpoints in all, in most of my relationships. I used to do that when I was dating too. Like, hey, we're at 6 months. Let's figure out how this is going. Do we need to cut it off? You know? So
I'm going to jump in to say, I'm so agile all the time. When I was dating too, I wanted to do like a retrospective every 2 weeks, and that didn't apply well.
Let's not waste time. Cut it off. So I try to do that because there could be someone else that could be a better fit. You know, you don't want to necessarily get that. It's not me. I mean, it's not you, it's me type of talk, you know, but yeah. Sometimes it's good to like break up.
I love that. Maybe our next bonus show should be on like dating advice and stuff.
I have a dating retrospective.
Implementing Scrum in dating relationships.
Yeah, that's why they're called tools. Okay, they're transferable things in life and opportunities. You just take what you know.
Maybe we should all be contacting Bumble and saying, "Hey, have we got some stuff for you? I know you're about to IPO." But boy, we can help you on this. We're going to mentor this group. We're going to retrospect, and we're really going to figure this out. We'll take you to whole new levels. Yeah.
Okay. So I actually, Denisha, she brought this up, but I wanted to ask this question because there's going to be people who are listening who've never been in a mentoring relationship and would, you know, wonder how this whole thing starts. So how do you set this up? Is it a formal structure? Is it informal? How does it work? Like, you know, so for me, like I always have to know how things work. So and maybe you'll just tell me that it's just kind of an informal thing and there's not really any structure, but just curious, does anybody have, a structure to this, or what advice would you give to somebody who's just starting out?
I would say, get both because I think sometimes for like some of my clients, when we're helping them launch a mentoring program, we provide a lot of structure because that's what they're coming to us for. So the tools, things to help generate conversation, facilitate trust, like we give frameworks and tools for that, but we also encourage them, like we do with any of our learning opportunities, that you have to come into agreements and versus just rules. So creating a space that's not only just safe, but like a brave space. Like mentorship invites a different level of vulnerability because you're talking about like your weaknesses and your growth opportunity, however you want to phrase it. But that day you just want to say like, I suck at this. And you want to be able to have someone that you could say that and not have to dress it all up and make it look really pretty. And for us, when we're doing a formal structure, we are giving like a toolkit for folks who've never been in a mentoring relationship, just like a wide range of expectations, but giving them the tools to set those parameters together because it's a relationship and you want people to go into it mutually in agreement about like what they're agreeing to, how they're agreeing to show up, how they're agreeing when to meet, attendance, that kind of thing. Because if you're a person where time is like evidence of respect, that should be shared. Like, hey, if you're always canceling or rescheduling, I'll take this as a sign of this is not meaningful to you. Right. And so, we try to set those parameters, but for me, informally, it's usually, I'm one of those people, I'm introverted, which is a shock to a lot of people, but I'm an introvert, but I'm highly relational. And so whether it's in networking events or worship services, whatever, community events, when someone's like, hey, we should go to coffee or lunch, I'm like, well, let's schedule it now. Like, I'm one of those people. I'm like, I don't like to keep having conversations about one day we should get together. Like, I'm just like, well, let's just schedule it. So I'm a little aggressive in that way. I'm like, so I don't forget you. You don't forget me. And I think I just naturally listen and pay attention to where are we connecting. And I don't necessarily immediately jump into like, this should be mentoring, but like really getting a connection of like, where are we fitting in each other's lives a little bit, or where are we mirroring each other? And what do I want to know about you? Like, what do I think I could learn from you? And I tend to be pretty like forward, like, hey, do you want to meet every once in a while? I just told someone, I sent them a text just watching their Instagram, and I was like, be prepared to be pursued. We are going to have a friendship this year. So, you know, like, I'm just more of aggressive that way of like letting people know I want to spend time with them and learn from them. But I think you do want to be authentic to yourself. I think expressing, it does take vulnerability if you want something informal to like say, hey, I would love for you to serve in this capacity in my life. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of pressure.
I mean, I love that you're not the only one that has ever found someone on Instagram. You're like, you know what? I really like you. I like what you're putting out there. You're like, yeah, that's going to be for me.
Like, I'm pursuing you.
Exactly. I love the brave space.
We'll talk about it later, but we're going to pursue now. I do put alliances into my mentoring relationship. You know, how do we agree to work together? And I like to think of those as like sandbox rules. Because then if we have that agreement, we're like, okay, we're both playing in. Mm-hmm. We know we have that expectation up front. Sometimes when I'm, you know, coaching and teaching the differences between coaching and mentoring, and then I have to model that and be able to show that, having that alliance, how we agree to be with one another, I find that an invaluable backstop. You know, it's like, hey, it gives it a foundation and some rules within which to play. I never thought about the informal aspect, I think, of mentoring, but it's incredibly important because it's those peripheral, you know, relationships. There's a woman that I like on Instagram who makes these amazing drawings with these quotes. We tend to have the same reading lists anyway. We kind of play off one another. And yeah, it's just that where I get an incredible amount of insight and mentorship just from what she creates. But I would want to see, you know, alliances and agreements. I think they, you know, kind of sets the boundaries, ground rules.
Right. What I hear you guys say is like maybe when you are putting together a mentorship program, you have to start with some sort of structure, but then allow people to take it from there. So first, like, create a structure so that you feel safe and understand how the game is. But if they want to take it in a different direction, you know, we are all humans, we can adapt and allow some sort of flexibility, right? Like at ASU, Arizona State University, what we are doing is, like I said, we are putting together this new mentorship program. Yes, we do offer some structure. We have like a menu of options, if you will, depending on the goal of the mentee. So one of the options is maybe the mentee is interested in learning to manage a project because this mentee has never managed a project. So we have what we call a project-based mentoring. You come and participate at a project that we have at the ASU Project Management Network, and you can be a team member that is being coached by the project manager of this project. And all of this is volunteer-based, by the way. It's not a part of the work. It's volunteer organization. So this team member becomes a mentee to the project manager and is learning how to manage projects. That is one of the options. Another option can be the traditional one-on-one mentoring because this mentee is looking to grow in a career in project management. Or another option can be just a group mentoring program because we all together want to learn about Agile and grow together in Agile. So we offer a menu of options, literally, like option one, option two, option three. And then, I mean, we are project managers, we are Agile, so we kind of have to have some level of structure in our head, but then allow people to take it from there and grow organically after it.
You know, I laugh a little bit when I say that mentorship is not just taking someone to lunch and then telling him how you used to do it, you know, 30, 40 years ago. That is the exact opposite. I mean, mentorship is really a relationship. You know, it's the building together. And I really try to dissuade people and companies from thinking mentorship is always like we're just going to match two together and then there's a lot of mansplaining. If it is that, I think that's going to turn off so many people to this. Mm-hmm. It's relationship. How do we build that together? How do we create? How do we collaborate? And who was it? Nina, was it you that was talking about vulnerability? And I think that is just an incredible thing to bring in. And, you know, I try to bring that both into my coaching work as well as, you know, any mentoring work, because I don't want that hierarchy aspect. You know, that's what I'm trying to move away from. And bringing that real, the rawness, the humanity in, where it really adds a richness and a depth to this. And it makes that a safe place. And if you can model that as a mentor, I think, you know, the pond, the ripple effect, you know, it's not just these rings, you know, emanating outwards. It's really kind of that growing us. Yeah. So mentorship, not just old people taking you to lunch.
I love, you know, what Dinesha was saying about brave space. So for me, if I am putting my 200%, you have to do the same. Otherwise, you'll be kicked out. It's not, again, you know, it's not exactly lunch, but it's not free lunch. So yeah, I do take up a lot of mentorship wherein I never get involved financially there. And I just do it because someone needs help and I feel it's, you know, he or she is worthy of it. But you have to make effort. And I feel mentorship and coaching are two very different sides. In mentorship, you don't just come with unconditional regard. In mentorship, you both have done the assessment and then you are in here for something. So if you are not willing to move your ass, you know, dude, you'll get kicked. So that's how I look at it. I mean, no, you can't waste my time. You don't understand how precious it is. And when I have signed up for it, especially for you, not for me, so then you have to do your work. So I feel it's a brave space. It's a space where you commit to something, not just, you know, a safe space. Yeah. Then it is a safe space for sure.
I try to live, it's funny as people are always like, what's your mantra and stuff like that? And I think for me, I try to live because I am, my faith is important to me. So I try to live at an intersection of like grace for just like human stuff, but then also like truth. And I've had people who are like, oh, I really want to get into the DEI space and things like that. And so I am constantly like checking people, like, what is your intention around, like, why do you want to get into this? Like, what's the impetus for your interest? Because if you're thinking this is something that's going to be like a sexy, trendy, cool job, that is a lie. I'm going to tell you right now. It's not that fun.
Yeah. You have to look sexy and trendy and cool.
That's like, you get weird things happening to you. Even on LinkedIn, people like death threats, you get weird kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm like, you know, it's not, it looks cute, you know, but there is a lot of laboring. And on top of the work that I do all day, I need you to be a person that's showing up for this. And I've had to tell a couple of younger professionals of like, hey, you've scheduled a time with me, just like introductory, and have canceled it twice. I'm just going to, the piece of love I'm going to give you is that does not look good. That is not respectful. Yeah. Please don't do that. to me or to anyone else. Any leaders in your organization, because time is something people can't get back. And so, you know, you're saying something about yourself when you book time on people's schedule and you don't show up, right? And it's not just hurting you, but it also leaves an impression that you don't want to have. And I think that's that brave part of like, you have to be able, have a relationship where you could just keep it real with someone and let them know of like, hey, I'm hearing a lot of excuses. Like, I'm not your coach, but from the outside, this just sounds like you're giving a lot of excuses for why something can't be done or why you're not going to do something. And so you're like a sounding board, but it's also being open to letting someone say the same thing
back to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny how mentorship can blend so much. And there's so many gray areas between, you said coaching and mentorship, right? Like there is this Venn diagram, and I can see it. There's so much intersection between mentorship and coaching. And I would also add counseling. Like,
absolutely.
How, when do you find that point in which you understand that a mentee needs something beyond the professional advice that you can give them and start playing that role of counselor? That can be a little bit tricky. And
you want to be really careful there. So this is, you know, Erin coming in, you know, with coactive coaching, you know, teaching, coaching, and mentoring. I am not your counselor.
Yeah.
I am not. Okay. My job as a coach, you know, this is a relationship. It's a future forward. You know, where are you now? Where do you want to be? You know, mentorship is, you know, aspects of that. And they are very similar in many regards, but we're also I'm not going to mentor someone in an area in which I am not experienced.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If I have no business, you know, mentoring someone on, you know, frankly, diversity and inclusion work, I'd be like, no, you need to go talk to Nina about that. That's not my space. coaching and mentoring, those arcs are very similar. And we teach those in, you know, the Agile coaching circles. We model them and we give people that place in which to practice those skills. But yeah, whenever I start getting alarm bells in my gut about, yeah, they really need someone with different initials about counseling or a therapist, I need to refer them out because number one, I am not qualified and I am not trained. There are some coaches who are, and yay them for having that capability. But no, not counseling, not for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And some experience have been scary because of course you did not realize, and there is no way, you know, just to identify how you can't. And so, you know, how to immediately draw that boundary as soon as you realize, mm-hmm. yes, that mm-hmm. is like murky, you know, I mean, and scary. So as you were saying, Nadisha, that, you know, oh, don't think this is some glamorous job. No, this is scary. And oh my God. So those incidents, and it just shakes your faith in, you know, the whole mentorship and the whole intention that you have. Also, another interesting thing which I realized on my journey was we all have our perspective. We all bring that from our genesis, you know, our journey, our environment, upbringing, and, you know, whatever we have faced. So as I felt I needed this and so I should offer it, I realized I was giving it out to the extent of burning out. And that's when I said, okay, I need to start saying no. And that realization came very late because I'll otherwise feel selfish. I'll otherwise feel not doing it, you know, lazy. So finding out where you have to say no and finding out what is your capacity as a mentor is very important. Whether it is a paid assignment or, you know, something that you are doing for community, in both the cases, you have to find out what is your capacity, how much you can take. Also, while mentoring, at some point, it just becomes too heavy, you know, so you have to draw that line. And then, of course, you have to go back and see whether this person needs counseling or, you know, this is more about the mentorship and the coaching. Yeah, I mean, you just have to see. So as you say, not coachable, not ready for. Yeah, you have to do that assessment. And probably in few sessions, you find out that as well. So, you know, as you were saying, we need to set some ground rules. I think ground rule on the retrospecting, you know, checking in 2 weeks or that. That is also something which needs to done on this area as well. Not just, you know, whether we have, you know, competency on the ground, on the field where we are offering mentorship, but the coachability, the mentorability of a mentee is also very important. And so, you know, after two checkpoints, we'll be like, no, we don't have that compatibility, or you need professional help, or don't bother me from after this point, I'll block you. See how you need that.
It sounds like you've had issues. You know,
LinkedIn. That was amazing. That was amazing. I mean, because I'm sure that so many people, you know, they run into that, and it's difficult. And I know that, like for me, it's hard to not only find my capacity but admit to it, right? So that was
maybe
that
you
was
should have the retrospective with Yvette, you know, later about the dating and everything. It's like, what's my capacity?
Yeah. So we have like 5 minutes for Lauren to ask her question. She has a question for you guys. So I have to let her have 5 minutes. She, you know, it's not very often that she gets to be in a room with five amazing women such as yourself. So take it. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay. So it's kind of a debate on what to ask you, because I have, you know, multiple questions, but probably one of the ones I want to ask you that's most valuable to me is like, what questions or advice do you wish you were told or asked that could have eliminated any challenges faced in the future? So think back at a time in life, you know, that you wish you were told something.
My question for you then, what challenges or, you know, hardships are you trying to avoid? And if so, why are you trying to avoid them? I'm literally
asking me. Well, I guess it's not so much messing up in life. I don't want to say that, because you don't mess up in life. It's kind of the journey you take. But what, how do I phrase this? Kind of like, you know, looking back, you know, you probably were asked like, okay, in 5 years, where do you want to be? Okay. I want to answer that to the best of my ability, but of course it's going to change. So I guess what questions I would want to be asked, or advice that I would want to be told, is like go get them at a young age. You're never too young to start, you know, that kind of advice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first thing I would say is, number one, where do you want to be in 5 years? I want to be in a position or an opportunity where I can say yes to the things that I want to say yes to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that, you know, does that mean advanced education? Does that mean, you know, different experience? I want to be able to say yes to those things rather than, oh gosh, I wish I'd done this or this or this. But I also want to challenge you, Lauren, to not avoid hardship or challenges, because let's be honest, those have been the greatest learning experiences, and they teach us more and they teach us everything. Be willing to lean in and learn from those, mm-hmm. not, you know, take the, you know, safe bypass route. That's what I'm going to come back with.
I love that.
You know, you're like,
No, I do think, you know, challenges are important.
For myself, I would say a lot of the things my current mentor and I, mentee more towards me, it's horizontal, we're both CEOs, so we're just hopefully just helping each other. I think based on that conversation and the type of coaching I'm in right now is very mostly about my entrepreneurial pursuits. I'm in a couple different things. And I think one thing that I think is just an ongoing journey of development, but I wish I had invested more earlier in understanding my worthiness, like my mindset around worthiness. So earlier in my career, just like recognizing like what things I'm not okay with, and not accepting a pressure to fit into a mold of like what someone else says is success, or having to
absolutely
stuff my voice or diminish my voice without someone asking me to, and just assuming I needed to, right? So I think there was just a lot of things like that that I wish I had cultivated in a different way. I still think, though, the way our society is, I would still be on that trajectory, but I think I would still, I think there were some opportunities earlier that I, now looking back, I'm like, oh, that would have been a really great opportunity, or I could have really put myself forward, and it would have been really hard, but I would have seen what I was made of earlier. And also just boldly running to, my husband is big on failing fast. So he's like, do it, mess it up, and keep going. I'm not one of those. I was a firstborn. I need structure. Responsibility is high. So I'm like, no, we don't need to fail all the things to learn the lesson. So, you know, we match well. So I think, though, just having that building confidence of like, I'm worthy of success. I'm also worthy of failing at something and bouncing back and not feeling like that says who I am. It's just, I just didn't hit the mark on this. Right. And not internalizing that. Yeah. I think those are the things. I think that's like one area that if I had been cultivating that younger, I probably would probably see the world a little bit different than I do now.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in, and just because it's very similar advice to what the other two ladies have said so far, of, and it really kind of boils down to taking risk and being authentic and not, you know, and it's really the younger and more inexperienced you are, the more difficult and insecure we feel. So it's difficult to take that risk. But again, in doing so, we learn and grow and gain confidence. And that, I know I've read this a couple different times and different, I'm not going to say the quote right. And I don't know who said it. I've seen different people be credited with the quote of like, at 20, we worry about what people are thinking of us. And at 40, we don't worry about what people are thinking about us. And at 60, we realize nobody's thinking about us. But because we're so worried about it when we're 20 or when we're younger, and you know, I do also think that as we age, we recognize that, you know, I do think often in social media, younger people are, there is more of a tendency for this judginess. And so it is really scary. And again, as we get older, we can be like, I know I'm better than that. I'm not going to worry about those trolls.
Yeah.
You just are like, those just are people that are trying to get their own attention or are jealous or whatever. I mean, you listen to the valuable feedback, but recognize that you are going to maybe get some feedback that might feel hurtful, that is somebody else's opinion. You have to just trust your gut and be authentic and keep, you know, knowing that you are growing and a wonderful yeah. person.
Yeah, you know, I just see that transition, you know, in me, probably let's credit it to age or whatever. So when Dinesha was sharing, you know, her first part, and that's when I felt like, yeah, but I'm also failing fast kind of person. The moment she said, I'm, you know, not there. But the very first part was in synergies with how I feel. And then with the way you were saying, you know, that as we age, and that really holds true. I didn't realize it's because of age. I just thought I'm getting wiser. But yeah, I mean, you know, now I believe more about defining my own rules. And it's not about breaking other rules and disregarding. I'm like, yeah, chill. Nobody is noticing. And even if they, it's just their perspective. Whatever I have done so far, I was told, oh, that's not possible for every damn thing. And I was like, really? I used to get pissed and mad. It is only after a few years I started feeling, okay, that's just their perspective. Probably they can't. And that's why I can and you couldn't, you know. And so, you know, that's what. So now it is more about, you define, have done so much out of FOMO. No more FOMO. I just want to be at this moment. And so, you know, I want to take up a very, like, it's a massive assignment. I'll do. And then, no, I don't want to do another assignment for another 3 months. I'll not do it. So I'm not defining, oh, this is the normal way of working. There has to be a rhythm and all. No, I did it aggressively and I want to, you know, just chill. So defining your own rule and at any stage is very important. I'm not saying break all other rules and disregard and judge. No. So no judgment, relax and just, you know, drive out of your passion. And when you don't feel it, you just go and relax. It's okay.
Yeah. And the things I take away from all of you that you've said is to be bold, be authentic, and be vulnerable. And of course, be true to yourself. And you ladies have not, you know, you've stated it so perfectly. And I appreciate everything that you've said. And unfortunately, we're close to ending now.
So I can't believe that hours. Yeah, I can't believe it's almost up. We should have done 2 hours, huh?
I know.
And so I want to thank all of you for joining us today. This was a really, really good show. And I want to remind everyone, our listeners, that although this show is live, we do record them and release them as a podcast. So you can subscribe to The Learnist Show on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio. And you can find the links to the show on our website, thelearnist.com. That's the LURNIST.com.
And of course, thank you to our sponsor, Learn Agile. Visit learnagile.com to learn about what we can do for your career in Agile. Thanks again to our spectacular guest today. We really enjoyed having you on the show.
And to reach all of you, we will have it in the show notes. And then also on the Phoenix Business Radio X website, we'll have all of those links and how to reach all of you. And thank you again. So that's it for now. Our next show is on February 23rd at 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Until then, thanks for listening.